You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 30. And in our study exercise, being exercised by what God has given us in Jeremiah, the false prophets and all of that are busy in Babylon and are busy in Jerusalem, communicating to the Jews the wrong message about their future. And therefore, and their future is assured, Nebuchadnezzar is going to level the city, etc., the temple. And that is shortly coming up. Now, having said that, God judges the prophets, false prophets, in Babylon and in Jerusalem ultimately. Now, having said that, you go immediately from that judgment to a direct God that they are not listening, people are not listening to God, not paying attention. So God goes directly to a wonderful, wonderful section on having to do, he's just going to do these wonderful things, one of which is going to be the tribulation. And introducing that, chapter 30 and verse 1, the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Thus speaketh the Lord, God of Israel, saying, write all these words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." I want you to record what I'm going to say again. They're saying all kinds of things, but I want it very clear, God said, of what I am saying. There's a difference between what people say and what I say. My thoughts and my ways, Isaiah 55, are higher than the heavens. Now, we touched on that. We need to be going with God down the corridor of time. And we reminded ourselves as we go down the corridor that God is working on the big picture. So history, the outworking of history involves God's wonderful grace. And it's a plan. It's a plan for history to be glorify God by way of our Lord Jesus Christ going to Calvary's cross. And so the big picture is being outworked every day, every minute. It's on course. It's being outworked. It has been working. It is working. It shall be finished. Now, having said that, big picture, here we are, the little dot in our spot on planet Earth at this particular time in history. We're just here in the big thing. So, God, we don't want to lose the big picture because we're going where that's going. But in the meantime, God, you're very personal, taking care of us. So putting that together again. So, God, you have a wonderful program to outwork your will, your word, your great working, your wonderful management of all of history. And we are to be, understandably, able to go and move in the same wavelength, on the same page. We need to be in tune with you, like in Amos 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? Got to be agreed. Can't go together if you're in agreement. So, in the light of that, going down the corridor. Now, having said that, an exercise. God, you've said, always you've given your word what you're doing. And you always give, there's no question, there's no guessing about life as people go down the corridor of time. So, over if I can to just get the flavor of it historically and to bring it to where we are now maybe. So, Exodus chapter 24. Exodus and chapter 24. And in the process, you remember, God puts in writing all that he's going to do, so there's no sense in saying, I don't know, when God has said it, A, God has written it, B. So therefore, here's Israel and the law. Those awesome statements made on Mount Sinai, they heard them, and God recorded them. And therefore, when we come to chapter 24, if I can, going directly to verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord has said, we will do. Now that's hearing them with the ear. Verse 4. Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. So God, they heard, and then Moses wrote. So there's no question about what's going on about the law. So they didn't have to guess. It's all the wonderful truths. And the Jews today, the Orthodox Jew and stuff, they would be seeking to do all 600 and something you can do and you can't do, try to do them. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to Deuteronomy. And time goes to the end of the wilderness journey. And Deuteronomy and chapter 31. And you will note, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. All those wonderful, wonderful truths. Verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto all the elders of Israel. So God, you're going to record such truth, the truth, and how it's going to bless if you just honor God properly in it. Chapter 30, going backwards. And chapter 30, and picking up if I can in verse 10. And if thou wilt hearken, 30 and 10, and if thou wilt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. So not only have they heard, they have it in writing. They have it in writing, so it isn't a question of, did God say anything? Is God doing anything? What are we supposed to be doing if we're Israel? What are we supposed to be doing on planet Earth? Well, they're supposed to be knowing. Over. Now, time was on, Joshua. And in chapter 24. And at the end of Judges, Joshua is going to die, and the book of Judges will occur. And you'll recall in Joshua chapter 24, verse 25. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Verse 26. And Joshua wrote the words of the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under the oak that was to be a sanctuary, the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said, verse 27, unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it has heard. Now that's quite, here they are listening. Joshua gives the law again, gives what the requirement, what they need to understand. And They can say, well, I don't remember, I didn't hear it, well, and God, what did you do? He marked the stone and said, the stone is going to sit there when you're long gone and remember what I said to you. You may back off from it, the stone won't. And you remember now, hang on, when he entered Jerusalem, etc. They brought up whatever. And he said, listen, if I wanted to, all the stones would speak out. They all remember history. The stones will speak. Wow. Now, so they have this wonderful truth. They are to know God's word. They are to honor God's word. And the stone is to be an awesome and wonderful witness to them as they walk and go forward. Now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, here's Moses, all the Joshua, jumping ahead in time over to John, the Gospel of John, and chapter 5. And in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, picking up, if I may, and you'll recall, may I pick up a little context, John chapter 5, and may I go to verse 43. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not, you reject me. If another will come in his own name, him you will receive. That's the Antichrist ultimately. They're going to honor the Antichrist and not the Christ. Verse 44. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For, why is that? For had ye believed Moses, well, we read in Genesis to Deuteronomy, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. That's why it was written to read it. So you didn't have to guess, you didn't have to feel it, you didn't have to go around who knows what was being said. You have an exact copy of it. There you got it. You've got the word. So Moses, and you reject Moses, you reject the Bible, you reject all that's been written in the Old Testament ultimately in what you're doing. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over one other place that will help us for the moment, over to Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1, and you would be reminded, God's outworking history we shared, and here's the church. And in Revelation 1, 2, and 3, it tells what God is doing in the church age of grace. So, Revelation 1, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write, Apostle John, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. They're going to go and write. Make sure it's in writing. These things have I written unto you that you might know. Writing. So there's no question. Why do we have the word in writing? Because God gave it in writing. So you can read it. It wasn't a guessing game. It wasn't an accident. And I shared, and you know that, of all the thousand zillion books, religious books including, There's no book like that book in front of you, the Bible. There's no competition anywhere in the world. There's no competition with it. They can't. They can't. Can't do it. Book of Mormon, all of those different things. Can't do it. No competition. Now, having said that, go over with me while you're thinking of that and have that in mind at chapter 21. And in chapter 21, as you come to the end of God's word, picking up, please, in verse 5, you'll catch it. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, 21:5. He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, John, write these words, write, for these words are true and faithful. Write them. And that's how you got the book. When you come to the end, 22:18-19, don't add it, don't subtract. God's God. So God, you record the word so that we can read the word, so we don't have to guess by what people say, think, feel, wish. No, God, you said what you mean and mean what you said. And you're going to doubt. We got your plan. You're managing things. You're outworking them in a big way. You're going to do them. All of church history, world history, Israel's history, the future, everything's, it's going. It's in motion, wonderfully in motion. So when you have to sit there and look out the window and turn on the news, the radio, whatever you do, all you're reading is, all you're hearing is the few moments in time that you're living in. That little dot, and that little dot today is just a dot in this huge movement. Now, in the movement, God, here we are. We got the movement, and we need to understand. So the false prophets they deceive Israel about the movement of what you're doing, and they cause the Israelites to lose out in understanding their wonderful relationship to God in the midst of Nebuchadnezzar coming, in the midst of all of the unbelief, in the midst of the false prophets, in the midst of all the stuff that's cuckoo and way out of line, all of that. God, they're able to look to God and trust God if they will. Jeremiah is one of them doing it. Habakkuk, etc. They're doing it. They're doing it. They're looking to God. So God, here we are. So we're getting it. We're looking at your word and moving down the corridor. Over to Galatians. And in Galatians in chapter 2, now what we're doing is Moses gave the law and Israel as a nation was to understand it and enjoy it, but they didn't, and they aren't. Galatians 2:16, I'll read verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that purpose we might be justified by the faith of Christ, faithfulness, and not by works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So, God, what are you saying? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is the God who's outworking everything. He's the Word become flesh, outworking all of the whole program. It's his task to finish it and redeem and pay. He paid the penalty of the cross in order to make it all happen. So here's the law, and written. We got it. and we can read all of the wonderful, wonderful things that God says in God's Word. But the trouble is, we can't remember everything, and we can't do everything, and neither could Israel. But, so God, we can't just sit there and miss out and lose out on the big picture in order to enjoy the little picture. That's just us in this little bit of time right here, right now. So God, how am I going to enjoy this moment? That's what I want to do. Well, the law is a big picture. And many, 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 many truths and principles that need to be understood and practiced. But we just don't remember them. I think that's fair to say. I think it is. I don't think most believers, all believers, but most believers, they don't know that. No, they don't. What we're saying now, they think about it. But to have the 66 books all clicking, no. So God, what do? We beat ourselves up? No. So therefore, chapter 3 of Galatians. And chapter 3 of Galatians may go to verse 21. For the law is the law, remember the wonderful context in Galatians, but going in the light of that, 3 and 21. Is the law then against the promise of God? Promises of God? No. God forbid. 4. If there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have come by the law. But you can't do it by the law. We can't. All the stuff that's written is overwhelming. And the Jews just put it aside by unbelief. They have the Torah, the Talmud and all of that. And they have, that's what they use, the ones that are sincere, Mishnah and all that. But that's a very small number. And the Orthodox, it's a smaller number. And here we are, us Gentile believers in the church age. And we're basically biblically ignorant across the country, across the world today, especially today, and in the process. So God, where's righteousness going to come? Well, it isn't going to come from the law, because the law can't do it. The law can only condemn us and tell us, thou shalt do or not do. And we can't do because we aren't capable of doing. And we do not the things that we should. We do the wrong things because we can't do the right things. Romans chapter 7. So, therefore, God, wherefore, what are we going to do? Well, God, you have to help us. What we read in chapter 2 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ is the help. Chapter 4 over in Galatians. Chapter 4. And in chapter 4, may I go directly to verse 4, Galatians. And when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, going to cross, made of a woman, made under the law, to fulfill the law. That's what he did. He fulfilled the law. Verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law. In other words, the law can't save anybody. It can't make anybody meet the righteous standard of God. But it doesn't do it. So therefore, what the law could not do, Christ could. To redeem them that were under the law, verse 5, purpose that we might receive the adoption of sons, to be placed in Christ as sons. And because, verse 6, you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. So God has made possible an awesomely unique relationship to the one, the Word, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1:1, 2, 3. He's the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God. God, the Son of God, the Word of God. You receive, the believer receives the word of God. Where did the law come from? Where did the promises come from that you read? The promises have to make it work. But the law can't give us any life. But God can. How is God going to give us life? In His Son. He is the Word. And all the words in the Old Testament, as they were given in the original language by God, are yes and amen. Absolutely. And all the words in the New Testament are yes and amen. And the one who said the Old Testament and the New Testament is who you received if you're saved as your Savior. He's the Word. And all of these words and all of these promises and all of these truths that are like this, overwhelming, He's the one that gave them, and He's the one that works them out. He's the one that understands them. He's the one that can put it together. He can. So how do we do it? Well, I can't keep the law like that. I can't. And I don't know. I know so little, actually. So when we're all done, God, what are we going to do? We're going to look to You. That's what we're going to do. You made us and given us Yourself, our Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior, so that we can become sons, family. We're right in the middle of it. So that we're going to say at the end of verse 6, the Spirit of God is saying, present tense, crying, Abba, Father. He's going to remind us of our unique relationship to God as Father. Therefore, Galatians and chapter 2. Galatians 2, picking up, please, in verse 20. Therefore, you'll understand even better, I hope, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, the believing heart, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in this body of flesh and blood, I live by or in the faith body of truth resting in God's faithful person, and by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So, God, what are we going to do? We are able to have a unique relationship. So, God, as we go down the corridor of time, we have to go down and do it. So, God, how are we going to do it? Well, how did we say last time when we were doing this? The Adam and Eve walked with God, and Noah walked with God, and Abraham walked with God, and David walked with God, and we line them all up. Well, how do they ever do it? They walked with God. What does it mean to walk with God? Well, when you walk with God, a God is the one who gave everything. And you're walking with the one who knows and set it all and makes it all work. How are we going to do it? Well, Israel tried to do it in their own effort, and you can't. But God, in His grace, has made it possible by His Son, by making us family, sons, to be able to what? To enjoy a relationship. The relationship is the one that said it. Now, an illustration, when I think of it, to give you one. Here's three children, four children. Here they are. And here's the father and father in this case. And here's the father. And the father is in charge of everything, working it. The little children, they don't know a lot. They don't know how they're very little. And they aren't conscious of what's happening in the world. They aren't conscious of what God is doing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the father, a believer, in this case, make believe, and a believer, and he's walking with God, and the little children, they don't know. But what do they do to enjoy the father's understanding and the father's power and the father's position? They trust him. They go to bed at night and don't worry. They never worry about whether there's going to be food tomorrow morning. They just are trusting God, fully dependent. They're trusting the Father who knows it all. That's what they're doing, isn't it? They don't know for nothing. We believers, we know a little bit. Little. That's all we know, little. And that's what I'm trying to help you, help us with. The big picture's going. Don't get, don't worry. The Israel back in Jeremiah's day as a nation lost the simplicity of the moment that they lived in to trust God to get them through it. They weren't doing that. They were listening to the false prophets and everybody else, and they're missing it. So God, here we are, we've received the Lord as our Savior, and we're to what? Walk with God. Well, Noah walked with God. What did they do? They just walked with you. Well, God, could you help me some more? Over to Ephesians. And in Ephesians, picking up, please, in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. And you will note, may I go directly if I can, in the light of it all, I'll pick up in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For, why? Because you can't do it by the law. You can't do it by your works or meriting. You earned it. You can't do that. For we are his, we, that's just us guys, believers. We are his workmanship. And we're created in Christ Jesus, new creatures in Christ. Galatians, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. We're created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works. For God's good working. Do you think God's good working is taking all the pieces into account as we go down the corridor of time? Is God going to be outworking? He's the workman, and he's outworking his works. That's what he's doing. So is there going to be? I don't know. God knows what's happening. I just have to live these moments properly with him while all of these moments work out. I'm not going to figure them all. I don't have them all. I don't want to get sidetracked now. So therefore, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained. And how are we supposed to enjoy this working? By we're going to walk in them. Walk with God. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. That's what we do. Well, how am I going to do it? Walk with God. If you're going to walk with God, God's doing it. And stay with him. You're on the same page. That's what Caleb and Joshua did. They walked with God. They followed him. And God blessed them. Over 600,000 men died. But they didn't. No, they did what God said. And what did they do? They followed him up or all around in the wilderness for 40 years. Around and around, and I just followed him. And God did what he did. And the outworking of the future for Israel, Joshua, as we shared, all of that took place. Well, so therefore, in verse 10, we are that we should walk in the middle of them. We should walk in the middle of these wonderful works. Over, if you would please, chapter 4 again. We were there. Therefore, 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Remember, the word worthy is to balance the scale, old-fashioned scale. You balance the scale, so the two sides are even. Remember, if you see the old-fashioned scale, balance the scale. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, verse 1, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, that's your main objective to be on earth. It isn't to be married. It isn't to go to work. It isn't to go to school. It isn't to do anything. God changed your whole purposeful existence. To what? To be a believer and walk with him. And in the process, you know all these things, so you balance it. Whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we're to do it how? To the glory of God. So we just live an ordinary life in an extraordinary way. That's what we do. And we get on the car at a time. That's all God asked. I can't figure all of these thousands of things that he said, but God knows them. So we go down, move down through the corridor, and God, you're going to do that, right? Walk worthy of the vocation. You have to have an advocation. You have to work at McDonald's to pay the bills. And you have to work extra at McDonald's to buy extra milk today, okay? Or gasoline. Now, all of that has to be. That's right. But that's your advocation. That's secondary. So it isn't anything else. It's just to be his and to walk with him. And God outworks his wonderful will. Wow. Now, over if you can, in verse 17, we'll at least stop there. Verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify, 4 and 17, in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not, N-O-T, as other Gentiles walked in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Before we got saved, that's what we were. But we shouldn't be there anymore. We have to say, well, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why it's going to. And you know, I don't want to get into it, but you don't want to get too encouraged because you realize, don't you, that all of the efforts, and God bless them and God encourage them, efforts to try to fix things, try to change things. Underneath is the stuff going on by the Justice Department and all of that to make sure the elections don't work. And I don't see them fixing it. They're talking about all other things. But if you don't fix the system that's being worked, you're going to lose. And in the process of all of that, and everyone that tries to fix something, what do you get? Even in their own system and all that, there'll be a guy, anyway, even if you're trying to fix it, we're going to be like the mafia and threaten you. We threaten your job, your health, your home, and they're doing it to big people. Big people they're doing it to. So where's the power to fix it, to stop this? We got to go after them. That's why I told you that 100 years ago. I left Boston, Somerville, because of the corruption. I left. I said, I'm going to California where there's no corruption. And that's what I did. That's why I left. I left because I knew the politics. My whole friends were into the middle. They knew all the nasty stuff going on. I said, this is horrible. You can't fix it. So I went to California, and it's such a wonderful time it was. Now, no politics. Well, anyway, it isn't fixed. It isn't being fixed. And those are two things that if you don't fix them, then the good guy can't really do too much because he's afraid you're going to come to his house and shoot him. They can't do it. We have to. There's no retaliation. I don't hate any retaliation. Anyway, I don't get tied up in it. I'm just trying to tell you, you don't fix some things, you aren't going to change the course. You're going to wish it, but you aren't going to do it. Now, so that's a wonderful thing because I told you, your future is in God's hands and the tribulation has to happen. So God, so let it be. Over in chapter 5 and verse 2, Ephesians 5 and 2, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love. Walk with God. Walk in the love of God. Love of God, that's how we're going to go. And if we walk in the love of God, sliding down, which we want to do, God loves us, so that's how we're going to go. So God, so whatever you're going to do, God, it's because you love us. That's right. God's going to exercise his wonderful will and the love of God. What is love anyway? Love is the wonderful, wonderful desire of God in this case to want his very best for your life and my life and every life. And how do you say that? God loves you. God's going to change your life. Love is a change. Love means you're going to be changed. If you're going to let God love you, he's going to change you. And that's why believers don't enjoy the love of God, because they don't want to be changed. They like to stay what they are, whatever they are. They don't want to change. They don't want to be loved. Love costs something. Love's going to change you. And, sliding out verse 8, not only is love there, but we are, verse 8, for we were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. And so in the light, what are we going to do? Walk as what? A children of light. That's what you're going to do. You walk in the light, he's in the light. That's what you do. It isn't light, we just have light. So God is light. Now, God, how are we going to do? You know all this, but yet eventually all these pieces will stick like this, and you'll see it. This is why, knowing we're children of light, what do you know then? Walk in the light? Uh-huh. 1 John. And again, watch it, see it. And 1 John, and in chapter 1, picking up, please, directly in verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do lie, L-I-E, and do not the truth. You can't be in darkness. If you're walking in the dark, then you aren't in the light. And if you aren't in the light, you are not in the truth. You're not. But I'm going to, you can be a bishop and everything else in church or whatever, but you aren't in the light. Verse 7, if we walk in the light, we are children of light. We're to walk in the light. Verse here in 1 John 1, 7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, he's the light of the world, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, is going to be what? Cleansing us from all sin. So as we walk, and that which you don't know, the little kids are growing up, and the parents take them, the little kids do things wrong and make things, and they fall down and say things and do things with it, trying to get there. But as they keep staying in fellowship with the Father's going to get them there, and they're going to become ripe old age of 15 and 20 if they just hang in there. What's it going to do? What are we going to do? Hang in there so we can get there. Otherwise, how? Well, I'm an adult, and no, very. Most of us have grown up, not you people, of course, but people grow up, but they don't really grow up. They got a whole lot of children in them, a whole lot of stuff that's lingering from when it should have been changed and fixed. But it's the way it is. And we become old and habits take over. And that's what we do. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ. So what are we going to do? We're going to go and be believing, 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 believing. What do believing believers do? Question? What do believing believers do? They believe. What do breathing breathers do? What do breathing breathers do? Now, you all should know the answer to that one. You breathe, right? And in the body, in the relationship we have, sitting here, just us guys, girls, sitting here in God's presence, wow. And in the process, we are to be believing, and we are belonging. Do we have a rightful, is all of these truths rightful? Absolutely. Because we're believers, believing, and we belong. My Father, we have the same Father, same love, same God, same life. And we're all becoming. God's taking us down the corridor of time in the light of the big picture. We're going down it. We can't change the big picture. I don't even understand. I think I understand a little bit, but that's it. God understands the whole thing. He has the timing, the clock. Everything's going where it's going and isn't going to stop. But God, what is our job? Our job is to be walking in the light like Noah walked with God and Abraham walked with God. What are we going to do? We're going to walk with God. Walk by faith and not by sight. So as we walk down the corridor of time, going with God, God is outworking his wonderful history, not only out here, but he's outworking his wonderful Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus under good works, that we could walk in them. That's what we're doing. That's how we go. Go to bed, get up, go to school, go to work, get the flu bug and everything else. And we just do all of those things. And we do it each day until we get there. Wow. Well, here we are. Walk by faith. What was Israel to do? God, you're going to tell him. God said, listen, I'm going to clue you in. I'm going to give you the big picture. But in order to enjoy the big picture, you need to exercise the little picture of your limited vision and your limited scope. Exercise your relationship to God here so you can manage it out here.